And let us pray. Gracious God and Father, you have sent forth your invitation. You have invited us to the supper, calling all who hear to come. But many have heard your gracious invitation and have made excuses, spurned your grace and chosen their own way. Grant us your spirit, that when we are tempted by the world and the devil to join with them, we would know the sweetness of your loving kindness and choose instead to receive your bounty and your goodness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration actually precedes our gospel text for today by one verse, where the introduction to Jesus' parable about those who made excuses is that a man spoke up and reminded everyone, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." It's a reminder that it's important to realize that all of this conversation of Jesus has a bigger context. Now, the man didn't realize what he was saying in its entirety, but he was speaking truth. It is true. Everyone who eats bread in the kingdom of God is indeed blessed, because God is the bestower of blessing. But every year, this particular text comes around, and every year, I, as your pastor, struggle to present it in a way that doesn't come off wrong. And I'm not sure I've always succeeded. I'm not sure I'll succeed today, but we'll try our best. By the sheer flow of the text itself, Jesus is portraying a man who gives a gracious invitation, is spurned and rejected by those who are invited, and it feels immediately like the application is obvious. And all of us, even your pastor, feels the sting. Because all of us realize the many times we have broken the third commandment. Instead of loving the Word of God and hearing it and gladly learning it, we've gone and sought our own pleasure. We've sought out our own desires rather than receiving the Word of God and going the way He would have us to go. Now, notice what we're not talking about here. We're not talking about the sins of others. Talking about our own. And this is the law of God doing its work. This is God Himself, by the power of His Holy Spirit, working through His Word, calling us to repentance. But while this is one clear application of the text, it is not exhaustive of the meaning of the text. In fact, if you think about it, when Jesus tells this parable, you can't even interpret it this way. Because when Jesus speaks these words, the church had not been established. Regular worship in the church of Jesus Christ had not been established. There was no participation in Holy Communion. There wasn't the gathering around the apostles' teaching and the prayers and the breaking of bread. None of that existed when Jesus spoke these words. And if Jesus had not gone to the cross, suffered, died, and risen again, none of it would exist. Because He had yet not poured out His body and His blood for us Christians to eat and drink for our soul's salvation, we ought to be a little bit careful about immediately applying our text to that context. So while it is true that the Holy Spirit uses these words to convict us of our sin and call us to repentance, and rightly so, we can be sure there is more here in our text than a call to be faithful in worship. There's more here than making sure you find yourself in the Lord's house receiving this glorious meal which He has prepared for you. And so that we would not be blinded to the other truths that can be found in this scripture, so that we would not miss out on the great riches that God has for us in our text, I want you to think about a few things for just a moment or two. Think about those mornings where you rose and you failed to heed God's invitation to greet the day with prayer, to acknowledge the fact that God has granted you new life in Jesus, given to you the hope of eternity. Think about the times when you sat down to eat and receive the blessings of God as an heir and member of his kingdom, but did not receive those blessings with even a moment of thanksgiving or gratitude. Think about the times when you allowed some idol, whatever it happened to be in your life, to keep you from gathering with the family of Christ, into which he gave you new birth by water and the word in holy baptism. Think about all the times that you had an opportunity to respond to the gracious invitation of God in Christ Jesus to receive the mercy, grace, and forgiveness of your sins in the divine service, or even in private confession and absolution, and refused to take advantage of them. Think about all of these gracious invitations which God has given to you in the church. Remember your baptism. Remember his goodness. Remember the times when he invited you to partake of mercy in the midst of this life. Remember the times when he invited you to take his name on your lips and glorify him in the sight of others, because he has clothed you with the robe of Christ's righteousness. And with all those sins, and they are sins, firmly in mind, recognize them for what they are. Understand the truth of them, according to the words of our text. Realize that in each and every instance, there was no need for God to issue another invitation. There was no necessity on his part to reach out to you yet again. He could have left you to go your own way in each of those moments, and he still would have been a good, loving, kind, and gracious God. So look carefully at your sin, and then look at the loving kindness of God, who for your sake sent his only begotten Son to die for you. And for the sake of his death on the cross, he forgives you all your sins, just as we said at the beginning of service. That's why we do that at the beginning of service. So we all come in with that baggage. We all come in understanding we have no right to be here. God has graciously called and invited us to receive of this bounty. And we have no merit for being here. The fact that we are here is simply a response to an invitation. Now, recognizing the mercy of God in forgiveness, that indeed he does forgive all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, let us look carefully at our text for today, so we can truly come to know and understand the blessedness of those who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. I think most of us know the context of Jesus' speech here is a dinner party. A dinner party which was not all that comfortable. Jesus had just called all of his fellow guests on the carpet. He told them that they were haughty and arrogant and proud because they were trying to take for themselves the best seats. He had just given the host of the banquet a tongue-lashing, saying, "When you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Then you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." It's after all of that that the man says, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And it's true. The one who does eat bread in the kingdom of God is most certainly blessed, because even though they were maimed by sin, even though they were spiritually poor and blind and lame in the world, because of the sin with which they were born, their loving and gracious God still sent forth his goodness and mercy. He invited them. He invited you to be his guest. Of course, the man didn't understand this when he said it. Like everyone who is a proud and arrogant sinner whose conscience is pricked when someone speaks the law to them, this man just wanted to change the subject. He wanted to direct attention away from his sin to some happier topic. Much like earlier, when you wished I would stop talking about all the many times you have failed to partake of the mercy and goodness of God in Christ Jesus. And if I'm not wrong, you probably even bristled when I reminded you of it. But remember, that is sin forgiven. It is now in the past. Today is a new day. Today you have an opportunity to make different decisions. So do not fret or worry about your past sins. Listen carefully instead for the invitation. The invitation to repent and to return. And then be blessed. Be blessed to partake of the goodness of God as one who has already been made a member of his kingdom. Don't make excuses. Don't worry to speak the truth of your failures out loud either. As we would say to one another if we were in a fraternity of guys, just man up and accept responsibility. And then receive the mercy of God who in Christ forgives your sin and invites you once again to be a member of his household. And you are invited. How do I know? You're here. At some point, whether your memory was stirred by something someone spoke to you, you have been invited and you received time here. Or perhaps the invitation to be here was because it's just your habit. God had implanted in your heart long ago the attitude that this is an important thing. And now you regularly partake of the mercy and grace of God in Christ at this banquet of his word and his sacrament. This is largely what this parable is about. It isn't about the lame excuses of the fools in the parable. Every age has its own lame excuses. For us, it's usually something that the culture and the world tells us to prize more than Jesus. Sunday is family day. Oh, I need to be there for my kids and grandkids. Well, it's the only day I can get together with this family member or that friend. Or perhaps, well, I'm out of town. And even though I can look on Google and find 3 restaurants and 2 other activities to do, I can't seem to find a church for Sunday morning. As excuses go, they're all just as bogus as saying, my wife, that old ball and chain, won't let me be there. Or, I bought some land far away, sight unseen, and instead of partaking of the goodness of the Master, I'm going to go look at that. Or perhaps I bought some work animals, sight unseen. I need them for the farm, but I bought them without inspecting them first. I'm going to go check them out. The excuses change with the days that we live in, but they are all equally pitiful and weak. We make time for the things we value. What we actually consider important, we prioritize. Now, there is one important note. Jesus here is speaking of a specific category of excuses. This is the would you rather category. It's when you have a choice. If you're beaten on the side of the road and cannot walk, then getting to church is impossible. If God puts you in a situation which makes it impossible, then, well, it's not an excuse. It is just the way that the world works in that moment. There are also times when you are given specific duties in a specific vocation. Usually, however, this is directly related to the Ten Commandments and dire circumstances that cannot wait. But absent those realities, absent a complete inability, absent a direct Ten Commandment connection and a responsibility given to you by God, then there are only would-you-rather excuses. After all, I'm sure that if some big celebrity or someone you looked up to greatly called you at the last minute and invited you to dinner, you would drop your plans, no matter what they were, to be there. That's the imagery of our text. And it's all in service to bring us to the main point. The main point is to show us the consequences of repeated and consistent rejection of God's gracious invitation. Because after all, the hall will be filled. And it will be filled with the poor and the beggarly, the lame and the blind. It will be filled with those who have come from the highways and the hedges, people who didn't even think they could be invited, and people who we didn't even know were invited. The Lord will fill his house. It will be great and glorious. The question is, will you be there? Because those who eat bread in the kingdom of God will be blessed. Just as the man in our text said, there's no doubt about it, he's God. He's a good and gracious giver. That's what he does. But that man spoke as one who was invited, but made excuses for himself not to enter. In our text, Jesus is warning us not to make the same error. He's pleading with us not to fall into the same trap as the Pharisees and those who ate at dinner with him that day. But notice how he does so. He does so by once again reminding us of the invitation. On the first read-through, the parable breaks our self-delusions. On the first read-through, the parable casts us to the ground, or it should. When we come to the parable, we should see within it that we are those who have rejected and denied. We are those who should take heed. Now, before you get all high and mighty and point me to the fact that you are here today, I'll remind you, the Lord does graciously serve 4 meals at this banquet hall each and every week. And he offers a full course of his word in study and in conversations numerous times throughout the week. If you knocked on my door during the week, you could have more. And when I say that and you think to yourself, well, no matter how much I come to church, it will never be enough, recognize that you're absolutely right. But that's not the point. Nor is that a reason to despair. It's simply an opportunity to reflect on where your priorities really are. In fact, it is itself merely a gracious invitation to recognize how far from God we are because of sin. Not only the sin that kind of happens to us in our own lives, not only the sin that surrounds us in the world, which tries to strip us away and give us every temptation to avoid Christ, but the sin that's in our hearts that takes up the world on its invitation. Our Lord points all of this out for our good, because by it the Holy Spirit comes to you once again to remind you, you are invited. No matter how far you have drifted, no matter how many times you have failed to come before, the Lord has not cast you off. You remain invited. But now you can never claim again that you were not. You can never again assert that the Lord never gave you an opportunity. You can never give the excuse you didn't know. You are invited, So don't let the weakness of your flesh keep you from coming. Don't let your poverty or spiritual blindness keep you away. Blessed is he who will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. And to this blessing you are invited. The Lord has looked down on you with mercy and kindness and everlasting faithfulness and devotion. He has sent forth his Son to rescue and redeem you, to make you worthy. And then he has invited you. You are invited. So come, partake of the feast which Christ Jesus sets before you. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.